Yes, yes, yes.
Do you know what's funny is I just watched the sound bar like light up like huge feedback. We're blowing out this microphone.
I feel like it's not a good podcast if we don't blow out the sound at least once.
I love all the feedback we create.
Well, I just think that so many people are trying to be well-mannered that it feels real good when sometimes you just blow it out.
Makes me want to take my top off when you say that. When you say that we don't have to be well-mannered, I just want to mess it up.
Well, listen, please do.
I just want to be outrageous all the time.
Friends, we have a few very special things to tell you about. The very first thing I want to tell you about is Kristen Henge has pink hair.
Hi, can you imagine it? I know I was beautiful before, but now it's a whole new level.
It started almost with a feeling of like hot pink, and now it's like a beautiful rosé. And I feel like I just want to like drink it.
Will you drink my hair later?
Anyway, it's beautiful. That's the first thing I want to tell you. The second thing I want to tell you is some of you may remember, but this past week was our birthday of Create, that Kristen and I started teaching workshops called Create 4 years ago. Aww. It was our baby is not a baby anymore.
And our love gets deeper and better with time.
Well, and we learn how to be better parents all the time.
Every day.
And so what it made us think of is when we first started Create, we first started teaching this 8-week course that we now have online on our website as a video series. That is awesome. So if you want to go back to the original Create content, we have that available for you on our website. And it's really cool. It takes you on the creative journey through the chakra centers, your energetic anatomy. And it's just a cool course. It was the first thing that we ever did together, so it's kind of a special thing. So we have that on our website if you're interested. And then we evolved into teaching once a week, sometimes twice a week. We were teaching workshops. We did retreats. We taught in LA and Toronto and London, England, and all over the place. And then we started doing the podcast somewhere in there, and that became the new engine that we focused on. And then so many of our own dreams came true that it was so rare that we were in the same city anymore or had the same schedule that we hadn't been teaching as often together. And so we just had this kind of 4-year birthday hit, this new idea that we now want to bring you our Create classes so that wherever you are in the world, if you're not in New York City or if you're not in LA or you're not where we are, you can have access to our Create classes. So we're going to start putting them on video for you, and we're really, really excited to bring those to you. So we're hoping to drop the first one at the end of this month.
Mm-hmm.
And it's going to be really exciting. So you can have us, you know, in your pajamas, at your house, anytime you want, getting this amazing content.
You can have us in your bed.
I mean,
you can pull up your laptop and cuddle up in your sheets and have Natalie and Kristen in front of you whispering sweet nothings. I also want to say that it will be different than the podcast because it will have all the things that we love to do live in terms of meditation and exercises on all of those fun.
Exactly. Silly and things. It'll be, you know, us really picking things that you guys want to hear about and want us to go deeper in. So let's say there's things on the podcast that we start exploring. These online classes are an opportunity for us to go further, deeper with exercises, meditations, tools, things that you can do in your daily life to activate these conversations. So that being said, if you're not on our Create Community Facebook page, head on over there and let us know what classes you want, what topics you want. We've already had people suggest things like classes on prosperity or classes about silencing the inner critic, things like this. So if you have things that you want us to dive into, come to our Facebook page, sign up, let us know, or come over to our website, thecreateseries.com, and sign up on our mailing list, because if you're on our mailing list, you'll be the first to know when these new courses drop.
And these new courses, videos, whatever kind of sexy name we call them, will be really fun to watch with a girlfriend or maybe a guy friend, because when you do this work with a partner, it actually expedites the quickness, the speed, how deep it gets into yourselves.
Yeah.
So
you have a little accountability partner.
Mm-hmm.
So we're going to drop these videos once a month. So you have a month to really work these tools and practices, and then we'll move on to something else. So our hope is by the time Create is 5 years old, we've made some really big shifts in magic together here.
Oh, I'm so excited about it.
Well, and speaking of things to be excited about, wait until you hear about this week's podcast topic.
Oh, are you ready?
I'm ready.
It's called The New Measure of Success. How much fun are you having?
So Kristen sent this idea to me. She said, what if we did a podcast on the new measure of success? And I said, that sounds great. What's the new measure of success? And Kristen said, how much fun you're having. And there's something in me that went, is that, can you put fun and successful in the same sentence? Wait. Success feels like achievement and hard work and strife and struggle. Wait, so we're actually claiming that the new measure of success, the gateway to success, is through fun. And yes, we are.
And it's really interesting, right? Because often we think that success is about some sort of achievement or other people's validation or getting us money in the bank, someone gives you an award, that success is something that is seen by the outer world, as opposed to success being something that happens or occurs within you. And I often like to think, you know how Einstein said, how I figured out the cosmos is I tried to think, what did God make? How would God have made the cosmos? I like to think of, how would the divine had set up this whole game if the divine just is love and loves us? Hmm. So imagine you make a human being, right?
Mm-hmm.
And you're like, ah, I love this human being so much. This human being is beautiful and cool and sexy and great and fun. And I want this human being to live the best life. So I'm going to put talent and gifts inside this human, this person. Michael Beckwith said recently, and I loved it so much, that we are here to distribute gifts. We are a gift distribution center. Isn't that great?
That's great.
And so if that is what the divine created us to be, what the divine, when I think of it in my mind, would be like, so the way they get these gifts out of them into the world is through fun and play, because it feels good. And more in my spiritual practice, I find that where the divine keeps leading me is, as you and I have talked about sometimes, it's like the go where it's warm.
Mm.
Go where it feels good. Wayne Dyer always used to say, good, where there is good, there is God, right? It's just one G. Sweet Wayne.
Yeah.
And so can I use my measure of success in a moment? So in rehearsal, instead of it being like, I staged 10 pages today, can it be, how much fun did I have in the process of rehearsal?
Mm.
And if I'm having fun, it actually means my creativity is activated. It also means that my channel is open. So it means that I'm listening. There's a level of spontaneity that occurs in play, in fun, that means you have to let go of boundaries, control, confinement in order to be in the present moment.
Mm. And I think the thing that really activates fun is just the permission of it. That oftentimes we just think that if we're having fun, then we're being irresponsible.
Mm.
Or if we're having fun, then we're not taking something seriously. But it's the redefinition. So many of you who listened to our podcast last week know that we had Maddie Corman on, and Kristen and I are working with her on her one-woman show. And as she shared, this is a show about healing and really deep pain and how you move through deep pain and addiction and trauma. And so you would imagine that us sitting in this audition room every day, or this rehearsal room every day, could feel very dense. You could imagine that this would feel like we have to go into dark places and talk about dark things. But what has been fascinating, and even our stage manager, who's now become like our new best girlfriend,
we're in love,
is always saying to us, I just love being in the room with you guys. This is so fun. This process is so fun. And we are in a room where we're talking about sex addiction and trauma and really deep pain. And it doesn't mean that the process can't still feel fun. You can hold whatever is going on in life. You can hold not having enough money to pay your rent and still have fun. And it's not irresponsible or taking your hand off the wheel. It's actually putting yourself on the wheel of a different car that's actually going to take you further and bring you into more prosperity than the worry and problem solving ever would.
I always feel that I actually become the most responsible through play and fun.
Mm.
That is my response to life.
Right. And I remember when we were, Kristen and I choose words for every year to focus on. And I remember hearing clear as day in meditation that my word for this year was responsibility. And I was so resistant because I really wanted a word like expansion or joy or unconditional abundance or something like this. And I thought, oh, responsibility feels so lame and so heavy and so like, oh, I have to work hard. And what I heard after that was, stop being resistance. What if you were responsible to joy? What if your number one responsibility was to fun, was to love, was to expansion? Why do you all of a sudden think being responsible has to be to working or deprivation or not enoughness or, you know, self-critique or any of these things? Why are those the responsibilities that you're choosing to hold? You can choose to be responsible to anything. So you could also have a responsibility to joy and notice when you are getting hard on yourself, or notice when you are worrying about something, that you have dropped your responsibility to your priority.
Yes.
To be in the mishigas of something else.
I have a post-it over on my desk that says, I have a spiritual commitment to joy, which really helps me in the workplace. So when I sit down for my hundreds of emails, instead of getting resentful of them, they can become a chance to play.
Kristen's email inbox is a scary place.
But how fun for me to greet it in a new way and yes. think, what silly thing could I say here? What wacky thing could I put in this email that will change my relationship, that I can't wait to then be the vehicle that spreads joy through my email?
Right. I once had a teacher talk to me about communication and how most of the time, if we are walking into a situation, whether it could be an audition or it could be a conversation with a loved one, and if we're often already anticipating what might go wrong, so it's like we're preparing mm-hmm. ourselves to be on the defense,
yep.
we're preparing ourselves for a fight.
Mm-hmm.
And so what she suggested to me is, why don't you write down the conversation as if it went amazingly well. And we're not saying it will.
Yeah.
We're just saying, what if you just, before you walk into the conversation, right? I really wanted to talk to you about this thing, and I shared this thing, and I was just met with so much love, and I was met with understanding, and I was met with peace, and it opened up this door to a wonderful conversation about this that I didn't anticipate, and this and this. That then what will happen is, regardless of what happens in the actual conversation, you're at least walking into the conversation primed with a new energy. You're not walking in expecting a war. You're walking in expecting a potential of a miracle. And whether that miracle takes place or not is none of your business, but at least you're priming yourself energetically to walk into a door with love and openness rather than defense.
Well, I love that sense of priming. And one of the things I'll talk to my writing clients about often is, many people have a desire to write something or create something, but they have so much rigidity around the process itself. Like, they already think, sitting down and putting my hands on the keys, I feel fear, I hear my inner critic, I feel frozen, I feel scared, it feels like a chore, I doubt myself. And one of the things I love to do is, well, let's change the whole story around it. What if this is the time you get to play? You get to be silly. You get to surprise yourself. You get to shock yourself. You get to be audacious. And I remember in a class I was teaching, I had this client or the student who week after week was really coming up with like, I'm not getting pages out and I don't know what's going on. And I got this hit in the moment and I said, ooh, this week you write a sex scene. I want the hottest, dirtiest sex scene that you could possibly think of in your story. We can throw it out. It doesn't need to make the final cut, but as a way of like lubricating the channel,
right?
Right? Opening yourself up. See what happens if you give yourself permission. Because I knew what was happening is, she was trying to control the process through her left brain.
Mm.
She wanted everything. She wanted every word to be right, every sentence to be right. She wanted it to be good, as opposed to it to be fun, it to surprise her, to delight her, to bring her pleasure.
Right.
So when she gave herself permission and started writing this hot sex scene and then brought it to class the following week, you can imagine all of us listening to it.
Everyone.
We were screaming. We were activated. We were so excited. She went on to shoot it as a short, the sex scene itself.
Wow.
Some of you listening might even know who this is. And I just remember being so thrilled, like, it activated me, her play, her imagination, created an energy for all of us. And so what I often think is we get so concerned with something being good or being right that we don't allow the energy that wants to come through us come into the world.
Absolutely. And it's interesting that you talked about left brain, because I was just talking to someone the other day who said someone in my life recently experienced a stroke, and it was in the left brain. So the right brain, while this person is in recovery, the right brain is completely unaffected and unharmed. The left brain is where the damage is. And I said, what are the differences? And they were saying, well, sometimes they just speak kind of jumbled and things that don't make sense. And there's no judgment. The critic, the judgment, the I'm not doing good enough, the I'm not healing fast enough, none of that is there. There's just creativity.
Ugh.
So there is a space where they're not getting it right, but they don't know, or they have no judgment about the fact that they're not getting it right. So it's this really interesting thing that we're always encouraging people that we talk to use the left brain where it's great.
Yeah.
Let it organize you, let it propel you into action, but don't forget the very vast power of your creative side, which for us, as we've always talked about, including pleasure, feeling good. You know, it's like one thing I've been working a lot with lately is moving away from any story of deprivation.
Woo! Preach!
Every day, so we've been in rehearsals together for 2 weeks, there has not been a day where I have not walked in with some sort of Nutella crepe, some sort of donut, some sort of croissant. I have just been living my best pastry life. And there's the place in me that wants to say, you cannot have pastries every day. Like, your body's going to change. You're not going to feel good. You're not going to be. And then I have been having this really deep communication with myself as an experiment to say, I don't want to live in a world where I tell myself I have to keep something that I think would be great away from myself and then reward myself with that thing once in a while. I want to practice living with life in an unconditional way where I have a deep trust in knowing that whatever feels fun, whatever feels like joy, as long as I am doing it completely mindfully, which means I'm not saying I'm going to have 5 croissants. I'm just, maybe I don't even finish the whole thing. But if the desire comes up that this is what I want, then I'm going to let myself have it without judgment and without story. And I'm going to enjoy it until I don't enjoy it anymore. And then I'm going to move on. And I have been practicing this mindfulness with food very specifically for several months now. And what is fascinating to me in taking a stand for having an experience with food that is joyful and fun and playful and all about pleasure, because I was raised in a home where it was really important that you deprive yourself. And that for me led to incredible amounts of eating disorders that manifested in lots of different ways. And mostly for me, it was starving myself and then binging. And this was a pattern all of my life and a lot of body hatred. And so really like navigating this new relationship with food. And it's been fascinating because I keep saying to Kristen, well, I just keep getting skinnier. I'm just eating more and I just keep getting skinnier. And then also what's been really fun is being in this rehearsal room with these 3 other women and watching them watch me in this practice. And then slowly over time, watching them walk in with croissant.
Yes. Well, you know, if we can live into any story we want, the story, I can eat whatever I want and look amazing, is the best story.
It's right? The best story.
So if we can actively choose our story, what about the more fun I have, the richer I get?
Right. And so this is the thing. And it's not saying that you're going to be reckless or you're going to say, I just want to do what I want and the universe can deal with it. We live in a cause and effect universe. But it's saying, let me choose mindfully what feels good in my body. And as I know I am following what feels good, then all I can receive more of is feeling good. That's what we mean by go where it's warm. So you may be eating the decadent thing and now you don't want it. And then you stop.
Well, that's the thing is being mindful. Does this feel good? Now, where does it feel bad?
Yes.
Right?
Where does it start feeling like too much?
Mm-hmm.
Where does it feel like not enough? Where does it feel, you know, we were talking about this conversation.
Yeah.
Go ahead. Something just came in.
Well, we've all had those Weekends, friends, you know what I'm talking about? Where you've had too much sex and you have to stop.
Yes.
You have to go,
too much.
I mean,
too much of a good thing.
Too much of a good thing. I have to hit the pause button.
Right.
Right. So it can be that with everything in our life.
It can be that with creativity. We had this, you know, we've been in this rehearsal process and I had this strong urge yesterday. I need time in nature. I need self-care time. I need Natalie time. So I said, Kristen, can I be a bad girl and like miss these hours of rehearsal today? And of course, Kristen being an amazing, intuitive and amazing friend said, of course, do what you need to do. And so it's really about saying, where do I need to connect and what feels good so I can stay in the flow of fun?
Well, right. Because the flow of fun and the flow of good is the flow of spirit. It's all the same thing. And this is so great for me to hear out loud. And and also to make the link to is for a long time in my work, because I have so much fun in my work and it's so creative, but stopping when it doesn't feel good anymore.
That's right. Because even the things you love, even a rehearsal process, even auditioning, even writing, even sex, even time with your partner, it's great to say, of course, I love spending time with this person that I love. And it's great when I have time without them.
That's right. It's being able to finally tune our ears so that we can listen to the voice inside that is always directing us where to go. And I have found that in rehearsal too. Sometimes in this process, I'll look at Maddie and be like, and now it's time to stop.
Yeah.
I know we're not at the end of our day, but we're at the end of our day.
Yeah.
Right. And I was writing in my journal the other day about healing, and I've really been deep in my own healing process. And part of the thing I've been doing is how much fun can I have in my healing process?
Yes.
And as I was writing heal, I wrote underneath it here. And I was like, oh, it's just one letter away. And so to truly heal, I have to be able to hear what spirit is telling me in the moment. And the reason I heal is so that I can hear more clearly.
Yeah.
And how closely linked they are. And so it has just re-reminded me throughout the day to get back into that listening vibe, that listening mode with the world, which I think is what mindfulness helps us do, right? Being in the present moment. Oh, BTW, Natalie and I have been obsessed with the Oprah Eckhart Tolle podcast going on. We've been both listening to them and then like comparing notes. When Eckhart Tolle makes a joke,
it's my bliss.
It's my bliss.
It's my bliss. Or when he says, you know, there's nothing wrong with having a glass of wine. He, he. Fills me with so much joy.
I love when he talks about going into Starbucks and people will say to him, how can you have coffee? That's not spiritual. And he's like, I like it.
Because the measure of success is how much fun you're having. Mm-hmm. And I do think that there's something really important that's worth mentioning in this conversation. Maybe someone listening is thinking, well, it's easy to have fun if you have a charmed life, or it's easy to have fun if everything's going your way. But how can I have fun when my rent is due and I don't have the money? How can I have fun when my child is in crisis? How can I have fun when I'm going through a divorce or a separation? How can I have fun, you know, when I'm up against a huge block in my career, or I don't know where to go next, or the shit is hitting the fan in my life in various ways? Because life is about form coming up all the time, you know? And so one thing I love that Abraham Hicks talks about is it's your choice to be affected by the conditions. The job of conditions is for them to arise. And the job of you is to decide how you react or respond to the conditions. And so we're not saying that by taking a stand for fun, that life will look like roses and butterflies. What we're saying is that life is what life is. And can you choose to take a stand for fun regardless of what life is bringing your way?
Can you engage with the problem from a place of play?
Right.
So how do I come to my unemployment with the space of play and creativity?
Right.
And that's going to change the energy around the issue so that now we can see new solutions. Someone was talking to me this morning, someone who is from the medical field, and was talking about their deep childhood trauma, sexual abuse from their childhood, and said that when they had been trying to heal it from a cognitive place, a left brain, from reading and certain therapies, and there was only so far they could get and dealing with that. But in their right brain, they, what they found is they started playing and creating different arts, music, taking up an instrument, painting, writing, and that somehow a deeper healing was happening with that childhood trauma than had ever happened in their whole life, right? But that it came through being with their inner child around an artistic process.
Yeah.
And I thought that was so interesting. And I had never thought about, I know that there's so many therapies that involve the arts, but the way that the art has in it a therapeutic mode.
Yes.
Right? It's interesting to me.
And, I, you know, this reminds me of the other day when I had this commercial audition to go to. Now, if any of you out there are actors listening, people have various opinions about auditioning for commercials because sometimes they can just feel like a cattle call, like there's just so many people there or you yourself feel like a product. And so lots of people have lots of opinions of why they aren't that fun. I happen to think they're so fun. I think, well, my only job is to represent what it's like to have the best life. And I get to go play pretend that I have the best life. And what you're really doing is with whatever product you have, you know, whether you're selling a flower or, you know, selling a coffee machine, you're really just saying, look at how great this thing makes my life.
Yeah.
So it's really just playing pretend that you're an aspirational, inspiring, happy person. I was like, well, there's nothing bad about that for me. I can always practice being in that energy. So what had happened is we were sitting in rehearsal and I got what felt to me like really devastating news. And it felt to me that someone was trying to hurt me very badly and take from me and punish me. And that could have been a story that I was making up. And that was also how it felt.
Yeah.
So it felt in the moment like I just got this big blow. This big bomb just went off in my life. And not only did this bomb go off, but I feel like I'm being put down and shamed. And there is a tendency in me to now go into victimhood and make a story about poor me and how could this happen and what am I going to do? And I had to really sit and almost like you described the mindfulness practice to me earlier, I had to sit and put my hand on the table and say, okay, in this moment, the only thing that's happening is my hand is on the table. And if there are things going on in the background, then that's fine. And they will keep going or they won't, but I don't have to be with them right now. There's this great story that I have told a few times about these two monks crossing the water. And, there's many versions of this story, but the version that I always tell, which could be made up, is there's a woman sitting at the edge of the water, and she's very pretentious and all about herself, and she demands that one of the monks takes her across the water. And they said, absolutely, get on my back, and they take her across the water, and she's very grumpy, and she's complaining about how difficult the ride is and how awful they are. And anyway, he drops her on the other side, and she rushes off and doesn't even say thank you. She's just been complaining the whole time. And then the two monks continue to walk along. And later, the second monk said to the monk who carried this woman, I'm so angry at you. I'm so upset. Well, you know, we're not even supposed to touch women. And she was mean and she didn't even say thank you. And how could you have done this? And I'm feeling so upset about it. And the monk that carried the woman said, well, I dropped her at the river. Why are you still carrying her? And I do think that sometimes when things happen in our lives, there is a problem that presents. There is a bomb that goes off. And there is a level that we have to be present in dealing with it. But if we create further story about it, if we create a story of poor me, why is this happening to me? Then we have the bomb that went off and the bomb on top of the bomb.
That's right.
And so what was happening for me in that moment is it felt like there was this deep, impossible thing. And I remember just saying to myself, go where it's warm, go where it's warm, go where it's warm. So that circumstance wasn't where it was warm. So it's not about deflecting. It is that is there and that is in my life and I am present to it and I will feel it. But I want to be also committed to something else. I don't want to react to that pain because then I'm giving more power to that pain. So let me say I will be a space that that pain can occur in, but I'm not giving it any power and I'm not taking any action until my higher power tells me exactly what to do. So then I got up and I had to go to this commercial audition. And I remember on the way waiting for the train. And this was one of those days where the wrong train would come and then the next wrong train. And then it was like 19 minutes till the next train. Yeah. And I'm sitting here thinking, well, now there's another problem. I'm going to be late for this audition. And I thought, well, I can't control the train in the same way I can't control this email I just received. So I could give it power or not. So I put on music and I was listening to me. And then, you know, I said, I must need to be on this subway platform for a reason. So let me just surrender to having to be on this platform. And then wouldn't you know it, several people came and asked me for directions. So I thought, okay, I must be in the right place. You know, I'm just being of service. I'm just, you know, I'm staying in the present moment. I did end up getting to my audition exactly on time. And I walked through the door and it was just a madhouse. Again, all this opportunity for trigger. There's people, moms, dads, kids, everyone's everywhere. You know, people are triggered because there's so many people there and the executives are mad because there's kids running around everywhere. And it's a spot for, you know, playing with this family. And again, it was, do I want to react to that? Or am I being responsible to play, to fun, to joy? Anything is possible. So let me just be where I want to be. So wouldn't you know it, I met the sweetest little boy named Leo. He's 7 years old. And him and I just talked about how much fun it is to be an actor. Mm. And he told me all about how he loves tap dancing and how his older brother likes sports. And so they don't really get along that well. And he told me, you know, that when he's trying to fall asleep at night and he's having a hard time, sometimes he just reads a book and thinks about geography and places he'd like to visit in the world. And I mean, I am telling you, if you talk about go where it's warm, I could have sat and ruminated about that email. I could have sat and worried about what the next thing to do is, or I could sit with this beautiful little boy, this 7-year-old artist in front of me, and hear him tell me how he deals with it when he has a hard time. And then it was so fun because I got to go in and do the commercial, and he ended up playing my son in the audition. And it was so fun. And speaking of the deprivation conversation, the commercial, we had to pretend to eat burgers. And so Leo and I were having a competition, like who could have the biggest bite of burger. And we're really eating these like really gross potato buns, but we were having so much fun. And I said to Kristen after, I said, you know, I bet you the thing that would book me this audition is I bet all the other actresses went in and took little bites because they didn't want all the carbs. And I just went for it because it was a stand for, in this moment, I could worry and I could feel stressed and I could feel bad. But there is so much fun to be had, and it doesn't make me irresponsible to that other thing. But if anything, the more fun I have right now, then when I do have to deal with that email, when I go back to it, I will be primed and I will be in a different energy space and I will no longer be playing a victim about anything. I would have reclaimed my power to say, well, that situation didn't make me have a bad audition. It's my choice to have a good or bad audition. It's my choice to play. It's my choice to have fun. It's my choice to have pleasure. And sometimes we do that when hard things are going on.
Yes.
And that's part of the practice.
And that's how we transcend and heal. Like, total masterwork. High five to you. When Natalie told me that audition story, I was like, well, that's the podcast. That's what you have to talk about on the podcast. Because it's as if all of existence is saying to us, it's a banquet. Mm. Look how much fun there is to have. Look how juicy it is. Come play in me. Come enjoy me. And when we turn our back on that joy, on that fun, it's like we're turning our back on life and saying, no, I don't want to believe in good. I want to dive in and focus on this story. Mm. And as we know, whatever we focus on expands. Mm-hmm. And I think it's a way of keeping ourselves small. It's a way of criticizing ourselves. It's a way of hiding in shame. Mm. It's a way of shrinking from our expansiveness. And it just feels really good to go and enjoy this beautiful world.
Right.
Right? We're here for a moment.
Yeah.
There's so many things to do.
Yeah.
And there have been many times where I've found myself in a moment in life, whether it's been like, I was talking to someone earlier and I was telling them about a moment in my life where I had found out that, you know, in my 20s, like, that a boyfriend was cheating on me, and I ended up homeless, broke, and like sleeping on a friend's couch all at the same time. And it was the best year of my life because of how my faith grew and how every time I turned around, there was someone offering me this beautiful house to live in or a free trip here. It was like everywhere I went that year, when everything was ripped away, there was an opportunity for some beauty, for some joy, to feel the grief of this loss, but also to say, and there's so many new people in the world to meet. And so I think it becomes this invitation that no matter what's going on in our life, how do we allow ourselves to look at it through different lens? And I think it's especially valuable as we start to look at the conversation of success. And as creators and as artists, how we're looking at our process.
Right. How fun is it to say, was all the food you ate today really full of pleasure and felt juicy and amazing? Great. Success.
Yes.
Was it about deprivation and counting calories and not giving yourself something you wanted? Not a success. Did I face this difficult challenge with an open hand and non-attachment, and I just tried to find joy and ease in my body or how my breath was moving through my body, even when that person was yelling at me? Success!
Success!
You know, if it was like, no, I got so caught up in the story and poor me and how hard life was, well, then we're not going to deem that a success. We're going to bless as success anything that feels like you getting to have your biggest and best life. And there are going to be people in your life, in our life, in everyone's life who may feel intimidated by your joy, who may feel like it hurts them for you to be happy. And so it is a true measure of success to say, I send everyone love, myself included. I want joy and expansion and fun and play for every person incarnate in this world. And that includes myself.
And as we go into our art, as we look at our process of creating something new, can it not be about, I need to get it right. I want this to work. I want this to sell. Can we decide in advance that we're going to have a great time, that we're going to have fun, that we're going to enjoy the process of finding something new, of playing, of allowing our imaginations to run wild? And can the same be true about our collaborations? Instead of getting into a place where, is it my way? Is it that person's way? Who's taking up more space? Getting tight and getting in conflict. Can it be like, oh my goodness, it's so fun to create with another human being. I love their intellect and their beauty and their energy, and I love what they bring to the table, and I can't wait to see what we come up with together. And allow the project, the new thing you're birthing into the planet, and maybe you're trying something new that you've never done before, but let the experimentation be so joyful, and let the uncertainty be so exciting that it all is elevating us up to a new place. Because the place that we've never been before is the place of our highest potential.
That was good.
That was good.
And it sounds fun.
Let's go have some fun.
So spend some time this week. Go where it's fun. Activate fun. Maybe part of your morning practice this week could say, what feels fun to me? And it doesn't even have to be something that you do. It would feel fun to go to Bali. It might feel fun to go to a belly dancing class. It might feel fun to try on pretty shoes. It might feel fun to reach out to someone and tell them I think they're cute, right? Like, you could just ask yourself, what might feel fun? And then as a way to prime yourself into opening the door to seeing possibilities of fun, so that as you go through your life and you go to your job or you're sitting on the train or you're sitting in traffic or you're wherever you are, you might open your eyes and shift your perception to see that, yes, there is the place that it could feel hard and tight, but there could be another path where it could feel fun. and let my eyes start to see those possibilities.
Mm. That sounds really fun.
It sounds fun.
Thank you so much for listening. Thank you for being on this leading edge of fun with us.
The leading edge of fun. What a great place to be.
Right?
Where are you? The leading edge of fun.
That's where I'm hanging out today. You want to come join me? And thanks for listening to that voice inside of you that says, we're going to do something new here, something no one's ever done before.
Mm.
And following that inspiration, because that's where the jam is.
That is where it is. So thank you again so much for listening. And come check out our Create Community Facebook page. Join the conversation there. Come to our website, thecreateseries.com, so you can find out about our new exciting courses and so much more.
Thank you so much for listening. We love to feel like we have friends all over the world in you who are committed to doing their dream on the planet.
And if you liked this podcast and you want to find out more about what we're doing or who we are, our pop-up classes, our online classes, you can check all of that out at thecreateseries.com.
And if you want to be part of our Facebook community, you can go to the Create Community page. That's C.R.E.A.T.E.Community.
And if you loved this podcast, why not share it with a friend?